This is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM. By the way, there's many more points. We'll have to get Christopher back to talk about his work in Africa because it could be underlined by the headline of the Globe of June 25th. There are 4,000 Rwandan troops fighting in the Congo. And how long have they been there? They've been there since 1994, with the assistance in the U.S., and a rationalization is that they're fighting Hutu extremists. And not only are they nobly fighting Hutu extremists in a country that is not their own, but they are also extracting coltan and uranium and diamonds, which is, you know, that's the least they could do. And they've been killing people of the Congo. And that was all enabled by the so-called tribunal, which justified their aggression, provide justification for their aggression against the country of Congo. Christopher Black distinguished himself in the case there. His client, a general, Dendilimana, life was destroyed. He was originally not prosecuted and was recognized as somebody who had behaved according to all the rules of warfare, had lived in Belgium, but then he said something critical of the way the U.S. and others had played a role in Rwanda, and therefore they came to Belgium and arrested him. They took him away from his family, whom I knew, by the way, and while he was awaiting trial, General Dendilimana's son died of cancer. He was not permitted to go to see his son. He was presumed innocent. You know what? You've heard about presumption of innocence? That's a Western value, Phil. You have to look it up. Ye gods. Anyhow, the son died, and he sat in prison. Eventually, he was tried. Christopher Black defended him, and he was acquitted, except that they'd taken about 15 years of his life. And we're all very proud of that. And they put their hands over their hearts when they talk about this. Joke of a tribunal. Anyway, this is Taylor Report. Phil Conlon is here. And Phil, you remember some of these episodes, the missile crisis, et cetera?
Of course. In 1962, I was in high school. We thought, well, it's going to come to an end because we're going to have a nuclear war. And it was my misfortune to live in a neighborhood populated by Republican businessmen on Wall Street, and I would hear my neighbors on the commuter railroad saying, "Well, we've got to really hit Moscow with a nuke now. Why are we waiting?" You know, and it's like, and one thing for sure is that it never crossed their mind that the missiles could fly in two directions. They were so convinced, you know, and of course they didn't like the Democrat in the White House because they felt that he was being soft and weak. Because he wasn't blowing up the world. I mean, this is like 60 years ago, and there was already this craziness was this.
This wrestling phenomenon.
It was just amazing. It's like, and honestly, you know, you mentioned Mexico. There's a guy in the U.S. Senate today who is saying, you know, why are we not invading Mexico? You know, and he's an important senator, Senator Graham. He says we've got to go into Mexico. was there a border dispute?
You're already there.
Well, inevitably, the insult is that the outgoing president of Mexico was a very fine fellow. Said, you know what? I'm really not too interested in having your narcotics police running my police department. I'll run my own police department. Right? Well, we can't have that, right? We're going to have to go in and show
them
how to do it.
Yeah, running his own police department. Yeah. We're supposed to run his police department.
Yeah.
Yes. No, it's quite a moment. This, unfortunately, power intoxicates not just leaders but followers. I mean, people.
Yes.
An ordinary guy, half employed, can't pay his food bills, etc. Being thrown out of his apartment, thinks he's the most powerful person in the world because his country has nuclear weapons, and we're number one. Somehow they. It's like smoking dope or something and deluding themselves. And you have to say, you're not number one. You're down and out, pal. And they're spending money on weapons, and your future is not going to change. And the idea that, well, at least we're bigger than the Russians, is, but that's a drug that is in common use. And the expression nuke 'em is a very popular one.
In sports even, right? Even in football they use it.
Yeah. I was driving down a highway in the U.S. and there was a big truck ahead of me and I couldn't get beyond him. And on the back of the truck he had written, nuke Iran.
Yeah?
And
yeah.
I said, well, that'd be helpful. That's a smart idea. And by the way, I mean, now that I've mentioned that, we're very close to that possibility. Because there's also this notion that you can a war can be neutral or rather regional, and it won't spread. But given the high-powered weaponry, I think most people would, if you stop and think, it will spread fast. And we are in a moment here. That's why I started with the question about Blair and that ship. Maneuvers are taking place off Lebanon now. And in 1 minute, we're going to solve that problem. This has been the Taylor Report. I hope you're awake on Canada Day. And Chris Black has given you a lot to think about. Steve Fruitman, 33-45-78, will be coming up. And we'll see you next week.